I'm Matt from Solidarity House Cooperative. I'm also part of a group called Albany County for Proper Policing, or ACOP, and this podcast is not meant to speak for that group. It is meant to listen to that group. You'll hear me talking to three other group members. We're discussing a tragic and frustrating killing that happened several weeks ago, a police killing of an unarmed resident. Frustrating because virtually as soon as it happened, a cloud of consciousness enveloped the town, a feeling that this shouldn't have happened, didn't have to happen. Not just in the sense that all police shootings are regrettable, but that this one, from the moment the community heard about it, felt wrong on an entirely different level.
November 4th, 2018, at about 2:30 in the afternoon.
So he's driving towards 3rd Street. On Grand Avenue. He is pursued and eventually pulled over by Derek Colling. Robbie drives away after being asked to roll his window down.
On the corner of Garfield Street and 21st Street.
Some sort of conflict ensues at that point. Everyone agrees. That conflict ends with shots fired. Hit Robbie, and Robbie dies. And how many shots? Is that something that is agreed on?
We don't know
how many shots.
We don't know.
Okay.
We do know that the body camera became unplugged, which had cut off audio. And so we don't know precisely when the shots were fired because we don't have audio. And they are in and out of the point of view of the dash camera footage. So it's hard to piece together precisely.
Well, I think the fact, as far as I understand, has been established that Robbie Ramirez did not have a weapon.
From Robbie Ramirez's obituary in the Laramie Boomerang, Robert Michael Robbie Ramirez, 39, was taken from us tragically November 4th, 2018, in Laramie. Robbie was born October 16th, 1979, in Laramie. He graduated from Laramie High School and attended the University of Wyoming. He was actively involved in many activities throughout most of his life, and when he had a passion for something, he dedicated all of his time to perfecting his skills and being the best he could be. As an athlete, he played on competitive traveling teams in baseball and hockey. He played soccer, snowboarded, and was a lifelong skateboarder. He also gave back to the community as a hockey coach and a volunteer at the skateboard park, which was a highlight of his recent years.
My understanding was that the body camera video goes off before the shots were fired.
Yeah, so that's unplugged in, but that's what was recording audio. So the dash camera doesn't record audio.
Right.
So that's part of not just the footage from the body camera that we don't have, but also the audio, which would identify when possibly shots were fired and so forth. So there's just a gap in information, and we don't know why the body camera was unplugged. Just that it was.
Robbie Ramirez dies. Citizens begin to say some things almost immediately. So on various networks of social media, these are the things that I initially saw is, you know, Robbie is mentally ill. It is one of the first facts or assertions that's put out in public by citizens on social media. Deputy Colling knows this, knew this, had reason to know this. These are the things that people are saying. I'm not saying I have objective knowledge of this.
Well, and one of the things that I found super interesting is I was waiting for a release or an acknowledgement of the name by county officials. And I would see people on social media talking about Derek Colling and his past in Las Vegas and the fact that he knew Robbie. But I was just looking for confirmation. I couldn't find it. And the fact was there was no confirmation. There was no acknowledgement from the county until days later. But it was, you know, immediately known that, you know, Derek Colling was the person who was involved in this.
Robbie struggled with mental health issues, like so many of us do. A lot of people knew that. According to some sources, the police and sheriff's office knew it.
With statistics on mental health issues and police shootings, I do have some of that. That what researchers found is that roughly 10% of calls to police involve at least one person with a mental illness. And depending on what year you're looking at, the data would suggest that in the U.S., Anywhere from a quarter to nearly half of all police shootings involve people with mental illness. And the unfortunate reality here is that despite that massive number of people who are involved in these police shootings with mental illness and so forth, we don't have a universal training on that.
Yeah.
So training is definitely something that's come out of what I hear people saying, particularly in the context of mental illness and what people would like to see ultimately with this.
And to many, Robbie's encounter with Deputy Derek Colling on November 4th was the perfect storm, not because of Robbie's mental illness, but because of Derek Colling's reputation.
He worked for Las Vegas Metro.
Yeah. Las Vegas Metro PD.
Yeah, so it was police department, not county sheriff.
Right, okay. And what do we know about what happened when he was employed in Las Vegas?
He was involved in a shooting in, I believe, 2006, in which he and three other officers shot and killed a man at a gas station who had allegedly pulled out a gun on them. In 2009, there was an altercation between a 15-year-old boy with a mental illness and his mother, a third party called 911, and Derek Colling and another officer arrived on the scene, and Colling shot him in the head, the young boy in the head. He had a pocket knife. And then in 2011, Derek Colling was caught on camera assaulting a civilian who had refused to stop filming him, and that video went viral, and Colling was subsequently fired from his job at the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
And Mitchell Crooks, the victim in that case, sued Las Vegas and was awarded $100,000.
People in Laramie knew all of this because Colling's from here, you know, word gets around a small town. That's why people, I think, I got the sense of that's why people were particularly kind of miffed by this unwillingness by the sheriff's department to release the name. Is not only, you know, not only is O'Malley calling superior officer, but O'Malley was instrumental in bringing Colling onto the force and repeatedly in public went to bat for him, talked about how he never regretted his decision to hire him, you know, said that he was an excellent law enforcement officer, etc., etc.
Many national interest groups who track police brutality and police killings knew Derek Colling's record. The most prominent theme of that anti-police brutality movement's comments about Colling killing Ramirez was basically, we knew this would happen. Not only had he been cleared in two kills, one of which was a heavily criticized killing of a mentally ill young man, Colling had also then been fired for illegally beating up a protester. Albany County Sheriff Dave O'Malley has been criticized for the seemingly defensive and allegedly lackadaisical attitude he took about hiring Colling under criticism. ACOP formed to demand answers and accountability. Explicitly not as an anti-police or some radical organization, but a group devoted to transparency on this case in the short term and to policy-level police accountability reforms in the long run. The organization is being really careful about the assertions and arguments put forward, not wanting to fall victim to misinformation, rumor, making sure that they have the facts.
Lesson number one, I think, for folks who are dealing with police brutality, police shootings, any sort of charges or any type of, when the people are pushing back against police misconduct, make sure you get your facts straight.
Right.
Make sure that, you know, you dot your I's and cross your T's on the facts, because people will take some little mistake that you might make and use that to discredit the entire notion of having a movement for police accountability. People, you know, and so you want to make sure that you do research and that someone is fact checking the fact checker, even.
Right.
Team.
The public really has broadly, not even just here, but just nationally, we see that people have this high perception of police as legitimate legal authorities. We trust them to serve and protect, and to kind of go against that you need to be sure that you have all of your ducks in an order and all of your facts together, because if you misspeak, it just provides ample opportunity to kind of attack your narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can really crumble, I believe in many ways, an organization such as ours, or just anybody that is saying, you know, we want these things. So it's imperative that you have together your facts, and that you are basing your decision-making processes on those facts and not trying to exaggerate or do anything else, because emotions are really high when we're doing this.
It's very hard not to editorialize, I think. But at the same time, I think that it's important because of something that one of us said before we started recording, you know, which is, when you're talking about accountability, the police accountability movement, you really do want people from all ideologies and all kind of walks of life to be involved. And if you talk to people, you really do find that people, you know, who are conservative and people who are liberal and people who are radical, all have different reasons, maybe, but all often come to a conclusion that the police ought to be accountable.
And if you're, you know, in the context of doing this kind of work in a small town, you know, you certainly have a rumor mill that's churning immediately, and so and so said so and so, and you know. But yeah, I think work with the facts.
Yeah.
The first thing ACOP did as an organization was circulate a petition.
Well, the petition asks for the release of video footage, including dash cam and body cam footage of, you know, the incident, as well as Corporal Calling's records of misconduct and citizen complaints against him. Subsequently, I think we've also asked for the county's procedures regarding hiring.
We also wanted to have all of the Sheriff's Office Department, like, policy manual on officer training, disciplinary policies, and then their general hiring policies. And then we also asked for the press notice and the name of each press service notified of the press conference viewing.
That petition and subsequent request was delivered to County Attorney Peggy Trent, who declined requests to turn over the footage that does exist, personnel files, etc. There's also this very interesting, awkward question. In some instances, the county attorney advises and counsels the sheriff's department, but Peggy Trent will also make the ultimate decision as county attorney about whether Derek Calling is prosecuted for killing Robbie Ramirez. So Carly Provenza, one of the founders of ACOP, recently wrote the following in an op-ed. As county attorney, Trent represents the people of Albany County, but she also represents the Albany County Sheriff's Department. How, then, is she supposed to decide whether to prosecute an employee of the Albany County Sheriff's Department, her client, on behalf of the people of Albany County, also her client? The short answer is, she shouldn't decide. Trent faces a clear ethical conflict of interest, and she should recuse herself from this case. Laws regarding prosecutorial conflicts of interest are not very clear in cases that involve police defendants. Police rarely face criminal charges in court, so there is simply little legal precedent in this area to guide us. But what is absolutely clear is that police and prosecutors have close symbiotic relationships. Prosecutors rely heavily on police. Police literally bring them work by arresting suspected criminals. When prosecutors decide to pursue charges, they rely on police investigation and testimony to secure convictions. Since the public tends to evaluate prosecutors on their ability to convict criminals, prosecutors' jobs literally depend on the police. Police-prosecutor relationships are especially tight in rural places like Albany County and most of Wyoming. The same officers work with the same prosecutors day in and day out, forming valuable personal as well as professional bonds and cultivating a sense of trust. When you spend years working alongside police to protect the community, it is exceedingly difficult to switch roles and go after someone that your professional life depends on. That's the end of the reading from Carly's article. One thing we talked about the other night was how surprising it might be for some people to learn that the response from Laramie City and Albany County residents to ACOP has seemed to be generally positive.
I've talked to many more people who are concerned about creating accountability, about accountability in this specific instance, about creating policies of accountability, than I have anybody who's, you know, I mean, I've seen some trolls basically on social media, you know, kind of making those arguments. But everyone, almost everyone else I'm talked to, it's like, you know, this is a serious thing. And I think that that's one of the reasons why it felt very easy, relatively easy, when we started doing work to have people show up and being willing to do a lot of work. And I immediately felt like, as we were, you know, starting to meet, that there were a lot of different people from doing, you know, coming from different places on campus and in the community who wanted to help. Is that do other people kind of feel like that there, like, this immediately created a lot of momentum and had a sort of organic energy to it?
Most definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we got together as just a group of concerned people that wanted to do something very shortly after Robbie's death. I mean, the first time some of us all met was the Wednesday after. I was surprised at the positive response we were getting, especially as we developed the petition demanding the body camera and the dash camera footage. And that was 6 days, less than 6 days after Robbie was killed. And then less than six full days after that, we had nearly 600 petition signatures from this county alone. The number, I think we had somewhere probably 10 signatures an hour during that time span.
I mean, that's not...
The dog disagrees with our assessment.
You know, and that's not with, like, you know, a hired team of petition, you know, circulators or anything. You know, that was a very, you know, I mean, we did what we could as people who all have a lot of other things going on in our lives. But yeah, it was a generally very kind of like passive petition signature gathering effort. And getting 600 in 6 days is a lot in a small town like Laramie, a small county like Albany County.
I was pretty astounded at people with opposite views of me going, hey, I want to sign that. It's just the fact that it hit home.
I remember going to buy the copy of the newspaper that had the story about the petition delivery down to the gas station on 3rd Street. And there's this little old lady working the counter. And I bought a couple of copies of it. And she's like, oh, there's one left, isn't there? I wanted to read this story. And I was like, which story? She points to the one about the petition. She was like, I signed that petition. I was like, oh, cool, you know.
Yeah.
ACOP is hosting a forum on police reform that's going to happen from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, January 4th at the Lincoln Community Center, which is a community center in Laramie. Snacks and childcare are going to be available, and you can find more information if you're around Albany County. You can find more information on the ACOP website, which is just acopp.org.
We do want to reach out to the community, and we do want to do something that involves a partnership with the community and moving forward. And so we're looking to do some type of town meeting that invites people to share with us what they want ACOP to do or what police reform might look like here. And so I think that's an important component of what ACOP wants to do that I think other activist organizations should consider, which is, this is about the community too. We're responding because we lost a community member, and we want we want change. We don't want this tragedy to happen again. And so we are going to hold ourselves accountable to the community as well. And we hope that our public officials will take note and that they'll learn from that.
This began as a fairly small group of people, a couple dozen, many of whom knew each other initially. You know, that was sort of the kernel of this organization. And now we're at this point where it's gotten to be a more prominent deal in the media and in the community. And, you know, if we do turn this page of having kind of larger public meetings where we're inviting a whole bunch of people to say, we're saying, come on down and let's all talk. You know, it's like that could change the dynamic of this thing in entirely, just because, you know, we're going to have a whole bunch of different perspectives and different ideas that are introduced to this whole process, and it's going to make it a more community-based endeavor, and I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like.
I think a lot of people, especially on the activism side, and I know I've experienced this, watching everything on the national level, felt a little lost and a little overwhelmed of where to start with law enforcement reform. You know, protesting on Facebook is all, and don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it because I do it all the time, but it didn't feel like enough.
I'm saying this is Matt. I'm saying this not on behalf of ACOP or Solidarity House or anyone else, although I doubt I'm alone on this. It's inconceivable to me that Robbie's death was inevitable, even if there was a fight, even if he somehow was physically intimidating or threatening Derek Cullen. I can't tell you whether this has more to do with the system and policies of police procedure or with Derek Colling's internal system. But the world where Robbie died is not an inevitable world, one way or another, that it didn't have to happen. While I find it personally difficult to see how Colling could have been forced into firing multiple shots at Robbie, I find it inconceivable that we can't create a better system of public safety that avoids these outcomes. If we can't, well, what the hell is wrong with us? You can read Carly Provenza's op-ed in full on our website, cowboysonthecommons.org. You can sign the petition and support ACOP and get regular updates on the campaign at acop.org. That's acopp.org. And you can support this podcast and the work we do at Solidarity House Cooperative. You can support that work on patreon.com/solidarityhouse.